We Told You So, Part 2, next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principled Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
Great to be back with you, Barry. And it's interesting, this is a subject near and dear to my heart, considering the fact that, well, we'll get into the reasons why as we unfold this particular subject.
Yeah, and I don't want our listeners to think that we're being snarky, but we told you so. We did on this issue, too. Now, yesterday we talked about another issue we told you so on, and we were right on it. This one, we told you so earlier, and we even actually did an entire program on this data.
I think we did, too.
We might have done two programs on this data. But now we have, again, confirmation of what we said was coming is actually coming. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we're kind of switching gears just slightly, and we're going to be talking about your health care. Yes, and the impact of the pending Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act full implementation, which is supposed to happen, in January of 2014. On an earlier program, we had talked to you about some of the predictions that many actuarial groups had made in relation to the increase in premiums with Obamacare. Well, folks, today is the day the chicken comes home to roost. Because in Forbes magazine, Forbes.com, there is an article in their pharma and healthcare section called The Apothecary. Their writer, Avik Roy, or Roy, maybe it's French.
Who knows?
He might be a Quebecois. I better be careful. So Avik Roy, I will give him that. With the title, Ohio Department of Insurance, Obamacare to increase individual market health premiums by 88%. Chuck, I think we reported at least 80% increases.
Yeah.
And now ODI, the Ohio Department of Insurance, has actually taken a look at this. Now, the Department of Insurance is headed by the Lieutenant Governor, Mary Taylor, and many of our listeners know who Mary Taylor is, or at least probably voted for her.
At least heard of her.
Or voted for her, maybe not for Casey, but voted for her, as she's the Lieutenant Governor and also the Director of the Department of Insurance, and was former Auditor of State. But basically, on Thursday of last week, Mary Taylor's office announced that based on the rates submitted by the insurers who want to do business in Ohio under the new regime, Obamacare, the average individual market health insurance premium in 2014 will come in at about $420. Now, that's monthly, ladies and gentlemen, representing an increase of 88% relative to 2013. Lieutenant Governor Taylor says consumers will have fewer choices and pay much higher premiums for their health insurance starting in 2014. Ah, but what happened to affordable care, Chuck? That's
well,
what I want to know.
Look, Barry, anybody who understands this from a business standpoint knows yes. that you can't force insurance companies to take on people with chronic problems
yes.
and keep the cost down. Look, insurance companies are in business not to provide a service. They're there to make a profit, okay?
That's right.
And the fact is that to make a profit, you actually have to make more money than you spend.
than you spend, that's right.
Now, this has been a problem with my company from time to time.
I don't know a thing about what you're saying
and,
with my company.
You know, according to the IRS, I made something like $10,000 or $11,000 last year over and above my pay. I laugh about that, and I ask my accountant, where is it? And he goes, you reduced the negative equity in your corporation.
Yeah, well, that's sad. That's
in other words, sad. I paid people I owed money to.
See, there's a disincentive to that.
That's right.
Figured into your tax code.
Well, actually, you can laugh about that, but the fact is I've got a company that went out of business out from under me, and I owe a whole lot of money. And he said, make sure you pay them, even if they don't, because if you don't, that looks like income.
Oh, that's – well, you know what, though, Chuck? Honestly, as Christians, we need to pay our debts.
We need to pay our debts. Yeah,
and
I agree.
So I am actually – now that you're saying it, I'm kind of glad that if you tried to sneak away while they were in distress and
exactly.
not pay off, you'd get hit with taxes. I hate saying this to you, buddy, but
– Pay them. Yeah. No, I agree with you.
All right.
That's always my plan.
But here's the point is, in January 2014, Ohioans are not going to have any other choice. We got rate shock coming to us. Now,
yeah.
again, we reported this on a previous program, and of course, two other actuarial firms – over the last couple of, about a year and a half, have done their estimates of what it was going to be state by state. One, by the name of Milliman, said that 55 to 85% in Ohio increases. And then the Society of Actuaries, which is the one we reported on, said 81%. Well, guess what? Both of them were under the actual number reported when the Department of Insurance got the rate quotes from the insurance companies. Why? Because when these two groups had reported on what they projected, the rules hadn't been written yet. Now that the rules are being written, and let's not kid ourselves, they're not done yet. There's going to be a lot more rules. So expect that 88% to be padded a little bit more by the time we get to January 2014. Probably. As insurance companies then have to recalibrate for the new things that they find in the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. Chuck, we're looking at almost a doubling of insurance costs in Ohio. And why? You said it right. Because according to the one actuarial company, the two biggest drivers of the rate increase is number one, risk pool composition changes. That means more people who wouldn't be insured otherwise are coming into the rate pool. If they have higher health costs and they're going to be claiming more, guess what that does to everybody else's fees? Because insurance is not a dollar for dollar I pay in, I get back. It's a pool.
Yeah.
It's everybody pays in a certain percentage. The pool's there, and the ones who need to use it swim in it. And the ones who don't, fill it.
Well, I can tell you from personal experience. First of all, I'm a higher risk person. So I was paying a much higher rate than the numbers they're talking about in this article. In fact, I was up to almost $1,000 a month when I pulled out of the insurance system.
Just remember, though, these are averages based upon best case scenarios.
This is people from the age of 18
to 26 or something like that.
Up to the age of 90, if a 90-year-old can get sort of like buying life insurance when you're 90. Chances are it's going to be kind of expensive because the odds are really not with you.
Or with the insurance company.
Yeah, exactly.
But the other portion of the driver is the fact that under Obamacare, they're required to expand benefits, reduce deductibles, and reduce copays. That means the insurance company has more out-of-pocket expenses. Wow. No wonder the rates are going to go up, because guess what? Just as you explained clearly, companies are in this to make profit.
Yeah, exactly. And higher risk customers cost more money.
Now, but before anybody jumps to a bad conclusion, though, Charles, I'm going to state it right out front, and I know we'll get flack from people, but the insurance companies aren't to blame for this. Your congressmen are.
That's right.
The congressman who actually wrote an exemption from all of this to their health care plan.
Sure.
So they don't get touched, but everybody else around them is going to get 88 or better percent increases here in Ohio. And in other states, the math varies all over the place depending upon how things worked. But the key is that you've got this whole situation that Obamacare requires people to buy more richer insurance benefits. Now, it's funny. If you already had a Cadillac plan, you were going to get taxed for that. But since the government's providing for it, you're going to be mandated that you have to have more.
Right.
So it's one of these things. If you go out on the private market, we will penalize you for trying to take care of all your healthcare needs, but if you come and submit to government and let us do it, then we're going to require that you cover all these healthcare needs.
Well, essentially, it's forcing 22-year-olds to buy insurance for things like high blood pressure, and diabetes,
cataracts. Yeah, exactly.
And name something that comes along with
osteoporosis.
Aging.
Osteoporosis. Yeah, exactly.
They have to buy coverage for that. Now, do those things happen to people that are in their 20s?
Sure.
Rarely. Yeah, exceedingly rarely. Rare to the point that a lot of people under the age of 30 don't bother to buy health insurance. If it comes along with an employment plan, they'll buy the minimum. It's guys like me who are 56 years old and beginning to suffer some of the signs of wear and tear on the system that cost a little more. Supposedly, they're subsidizing me. Well, thank you very much. I get that. Why we would be in the same pool doesn't make any sense to me. They should be in their own pool, and they should have lower rates for that reason. I should be in a higher pool because I'm a higher risk. I'm perfectly willing to deal with that situation because I understand that from a liberty aspect, I need to pay more because I'm more of a risk to the money pool. I get it. Here's the problem. We're trying to socialize the cost. And anytime you socialize the cost, you have to bring everybody on. And that means you have people who are dying,
yes,
who will have to be insured. And in fact, they're giving them every chance to live, which of course I applaud. And in fact, a lot of these people were getting treatment for exceedingly reduced cost or through charitables or that kind of thing with experimental treatments and that kind of thing. There are some chemotherapy treatments that are $25,000 and $50,000 a treatment.
A treatment, that's right. Not a year, a treatment.
And you've got a list of 24 of them. Well, guess what, man? 24 treatments at $50,000 a piece is not you're over $1 million.
Yep.
So why should that person be in my pool?
Because Obamacare said so.
It's one thing if they were in the pool and then they got the disease. It's another thing when after they have the disease, suddenly they're in my pool.
Then you have to take them in the pool. That's right.
It's an entirely different situation. That's why the pool has certain costs built into it actuarially. And if you know anybody who's an actuary, that's their job, and that's to calculate the risk of that kind of an expense coming along so you can calculate what the rates are, so you can calculate what your profit will probably be.
Mm-hmm.
And if you miss your accounting, then the next year you apply for a rate increase.
Right.
That's what Mary Taylor's talking about. What we're seeing is the risk increase, and it's being reflected in the cost of a policy. You can't avoid that. It's simple mathematics. It really isn't that hard to understand. And this was predictable, and it was predicted. And yet, if you'll recall, we were told over and over and over, this is going to cost you less.
And for some people, it will cost them less. Now, the premiums will go down for those who already were lower income folks who had insurance, because they're going to benefit from the subsidies. However, for all the rest of us who aren't in that particular subgenre, subcategory, not only will our rates go up, our taxes go up too.
Well, of course.
Because there's a premium tax. And when our premiums go up, our premium tax goes up.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's in Obamacare as well. So what happens is this 88% rate increase might be a 142% increase. And I'm throwing a number out
there. Yeah, it's speculative.
Because who knows, when you add the premium tax on top of the rate increase, how much more money you're going to have to spend out of pocket monthly or annually, depending on how it's calculated for you, if you're an Ohio resident under Obamacare. It's starting to make things like Samaritan Ministries look awfully good.
Awfully good. That's why, basically, if that turns out to be the case, that it does turn out to be a better deal, it will be eliminated by law, force us back into the insurance pool. What's interesting about this, what are we trying to do to, quote-unquote, fix this? Conservatives have somehow bought into the idea that we can violate Ohio's Constitution and adopt Medicaid expansion,
yeah,
which is the acceptance of Obamacare in violation of the Healthcare Freedom Amendment.
Yes, it is.
Which we voted overwhelmingly for, what, 2 years ago now?
Yes, but you know what they're going to say, because the Supreme Court upheld Obamacare as constitutional, therefore the Supremacy Clause of the Article 6 of the Constitution trumps the Ohio Constitution.
So we don't have time for that, but if you want to know why that doesn't work, take our Constitution class. Take our Institute on the Constitution.
Now, just in closing, I always want to look on the bright side of life. There are some silver linings to the dark cloud that is Obamacare. But you got to look real hard for them. Is the silver lining in the fact that we get better health care? No, because we won't. Is the silver lining in the fact that some people will get rate reductions? No, because the vast majority of able-bodied Ohioans will pay more money. The one silver lining, Chuck, potential. Now, I know for those who are sitting in the industries right now, they're not seeing this as a silver lining. But the way the PPACA was written, if a company stays under 50 employees, they're exempt from having to pay the Obamacare mandates. Now, once you get over 50, then you've got all of these provisions, and if you don't comply with them, you're forced to pay a fine. Chuck, many people say, oh, it's going to raise unemployment. I'm thinking, well, no, if I'm an entrepreneurial employer, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to start multiple companies and keep it under 50 employees apiece. I don't have to pay health care. They're making money so that they can pay for their own health care. Sadly, the insurance rates are going up, but it's going to increase small business across the country if small business people are ready to put their suspenders on and put the pants up and get to work. Instead of complaining, oh, I can't grow my business past 50 people, just grow another business.
Yeah, exactly. And started an entirely separate, you know, I never thought, that's brilliant, because I never thought of that. What it will do is actually increase entrepreneurship.
Yes, it will. Because more and more companies will develop or split their industry in order to keep under the 50 employees in each division.
Yep, they'll split off divisions in order to get under that limit.
In the Malcolm Gladwell book, The Tipping Point, he talks about the magic of the 150, that
right,
when a company gets to 150 employees, it should always go and plan a new division and roll some employees off, because any organization that gets over 150 is too big to manage. Chuck, we now have it in law that you're going to be encouraged to keep your companies at 50 employees or less.
That's why that'll be changed, by the way.
Yeah, it will be. Now that we've pointed it out to people, it'll be changed.
And by the way, that 150, folks, that works with churches,
yes,
too.
Yes, it works with churches, too. That's any socialization.
Let's give a plug for that book, because we're out of time.
Yeah, it's called The Tipping Point by Malcolm Gladwell. It's been out for about 15 years. It's one of my top 5 books of all time that people should read.
It's actually a great book. You should read it. He doesn't come at it from a biblical perspective, but he does by accident.
He does, yeah. He comes at it around the side door.
Yeah, exactly. We're out of time. Join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.